This is Let's Talk Big, The Big Read with Jane Berger and Jen Hazel. The Owens Community College Campus Read is taking place now and throughout the semester, with the goal of bringing awareness of different perspectives through books. The Campus Read book is How We Fight for Our Lives by Saeed Jones, and tells the story of how each of us creates a place for ourselves in this world. Here to share their insight from the book is Owens Community College Director of Library Services, Jane Berger, and Professor of English, Jennifer Hazel.
I'm Jen Hazel, and this is
Jane Berger,
and we're here to keep talking big on The Big Read. Jane, do you have a passage for us?
Well, funny you should ask. You know me, I always have something to read. I love this book. I think this is my third time through it reading, and then of course I listen to the audio, which is awesome because it's read by Saeed Jones. I'm like a groupie now.
I know, right? When he comes, we better make sure that we tone you down so he's not a little like, who is this woman?
Keep your distance, 6 feet away. So this particular passage happens to be on page 44 of the book. This is actually just a little thought of Saeed's, where he says, being black can get you killed. Being gay can get you killed. Being a black gay boy is a death wish. And I think this is where he started really thinking he needed to fight for his life. I think this is where it kicks in. But then on page 45, I wanted to touch on this as well, and we'll go back and recap both. But on page 45, he's talking about being in the classroom, and the girl who's sitting right in front of me let her head drop to her chest as if felled. She shook her head back and forth, crying softly. It repulsed me then, her freedom, that she had the freedom to cry. That, I thought, fit right in if you were lucky enough to view the Oregon Road film series that we just had last week, the mask that you live in. This really kind of talks to that directly. Like, have we always raised boys not to feel emotion? Is it done consciously? Is it just kind of an unwritten, quote-unquote, rule of parenting boys? I only have girls, so man, let the floodworks begin. We're no problem there. But it's so sad to me that boys have this hanging over their heads that they can't feel what they want to feel. Or if they do, they should feel ashamed.
I do have a son, and he is young. But I feel like, I'm not sure if it is like not being able to feel or not being able to show and talk about it.
Right, you're right, you're right. That's an important distinction. So they can feel it, but they can't show it. Is that?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And I think in a lot of ways, what The Mask You Live In talked about, and if you were lucky enough to be there and then have the discussion, hear the discussion with Dr. Moore and one of Dr. Moore's students afterwards, centralized and focused on a little bit about how it is that boys get to a certain age and then we expect toughness out of them. And toughness is defined as by not showing emotion. What's interesting is the documentary was talking about how even communicating can seem weak, not manly. Having a close relationship with another male, two males, is somehow seen, and this, I mean, definitely relates to what Saeed, somehow that relationship is seen as it doesn't happen because men don't do that. But why don't men do that?
Right.
Because to women, it's totally acceptable to be close and communicate and have conversation. So why is that not allowed? And there's a shift at some point. So my son is six, so it's still okay for to cry and to do these things. But I know at some point, because I also have two brothers, that there's somehow a shift where that is just not acceptable.
Right.
And it's okay to still see a girl do it at a certain point, but not a male. And
right.
Then what's interesting is thinking about, it's a big deal when someone says, well, the man was even crying.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right. That's more impactful because, oh my gosh, even he couldn't, hold it in. And I've often said, I've been married a long time, and my husband is one of five, and he has three sisters. And I have often said that I'm so grateful that he grew up with these three sisters. And all five kids are 6 years apart. Boom, boom, boom. There's a year in between each of them. And so they were all very, very close. What one did in the house, the other one had to do as far as chores went. washing dishes wasn't just for girls. Cleaning the hair out of the bathtub wasn't just for girls.
Even though you know it was just the girls'
hair.
Well,
exactly. That contributed to that. They all had to do the same chores. Nothing, you know, he'll do laundry. He folds. When my kids were little, and like I said, I just had girls, he was sitting on the floor when I came home one day, and he had barrettes in his hair all over the place because, you know, they were playing beauty salon. And he said growing up, if they didn't have any friends over because they had each other, his sisters would do all kinds of weird things with him and his brother, like part their hair and put it in ponies. And just like his one sister who wanted to learn how to sew would ask if he was the only one around or his brother, here, try this out. I want to see, you know, how this is going to look out. So there was nothing that he was afraid to do. And I'm so thankful for that because he doesn't seem to have that, and I don't know, the word that comes to mind is probably not the best, like a hang up over doing things that are usually considered by society as things that only girls would do. He's in his mid-60s now, so he certainly is from that era when that was more defined than what it is now.
I was thinking this a little bit as Dr. Moore was talking, we were debriefing the film. I think that's more of the common experience, but I think media may give us a different view. And then when boys, men are in public, that's the expectation. Even though the experience might be very different, that it isn't necessarily...
Like, right,
yeah,
yes.
Even though it isn't defined my own feeling.
Correct, yeah, the roles just, yeah.
Although even thinking about it, when you go... And I just had to buy a gift for a baby shower. When you go to buy a gift for a baby shower, you always know if they know the sex of the baby because it's almost always, it's pink for a girl and blue for a boy. Which, interestingly enough, pink used to be a boy color. Exactly.
Yep.
But we're going to have to kind of wrap up.
I know we totally time goes by so fast.
I know, and we didn't even get to bring this totally back to the book. But
I know.
I mean, in a lot of ways, like just recapping it fast, like I think this is the experience that Saeed is starting to talk about. I can't be me.
Right.
It's okay to be free to cry if you're female, but male, you have to be tough.
That's right.
And why do you have to be tough? And I think that's at the core of what we have to look at.
Right. That's where how we fight for our lives comes into play, and this is where it might have really hit home with him and started. He is fighting for his life to be himself and to be able to cry if he wants to cry and to be able to be a black gay boy and be comfortable
right.
in who he is. So he is fighting for every part of his being.
Growing into a black gay man.
Yep.
That'll do it for us today. Please make sure you check out our website at owens.edu/humanities/read/. For myself and for Jane Berger, we're out of here for today.
Join us again for Let's Talk Big, The Big Read with Jane Berger and Jen Hazel.